Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for Jesus. As we study, we rejoice that we have access into rights and privileges. Revealed knowledge is part of it. So we receive by faith tonight. We receive insight into the knowledge of Christ. The eyes of each one's understanding here is flooded with light. And we give you praise for answered prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, today is week 39.
Yes, Papa. Week 39.
All right. So tonight we're looking at what Bible teaching is not. What Bible teaching is not. What Bible teaching is not, part three. The objective of this class is to show Bible teaching as a vital ingredient of leadership and to understand what Bible teaching entails and what it is not. To show Bible teaching as a vital ingredient of leadership, to understand what Bible teaching entails and what it's not. Scriptures are written for reading and learning. Scriptures are written for reading and learning. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we must read to understand. We must read to understand. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Brother Paul will say, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So the teacher must do the same. The teacher must read. The student must read. All of us must read. We have since seen scriptures used as a mere reference where we quote. We form this habit simply because it has been, you know, capitalized and chapterized and versed. However, this was only done in the 13th and 16th centuries, respectively. Making the Bible into chapters and verses was done in the 13th and 16th centuries. The original letters were never put in chapters and verses. This implies that the writers intended we read the whole piece together. Hence, the speakers of scriptures reference the entire books in speaking of portions of it. They reference the entire books in speaking of portions of it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Brother Paul will write to the church in Galatia and say, and the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in this shall all nations be blessed. To know which scripture he's talking about, you will need to read the entire book of Genesis and locate the life of Abraham there. You will need to read through the entire book to pick out that text, which, by the way, today is made easier with verses and chapters. Back then, you are very unlikely to quote this out of context, as you must have read through the whole book. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. Same here. Hence, when the apostles taught, the listeners had to consult the materials themselves and read through as well. They had to consult the scriptures and read through as well. Ephesians 17:11.
Papa, we can no more hear you.
Hence, a Bible teacher is Papa, one who knows the scriptures. Yes.
We couldn't hear. You started with Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 17, but then you faded away after that.
Pastor Sean.
Yes, Papa.
What did you hear?
Ephesians 17. That was where it stopped.
Ephesians 17.
Yes. Or Ephesians, either Ephesians, if it was, you were quoting Ephesians.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 17. No, I was quoting Acts of the Apostles.
Okay. Not Ephesians. Acts 17.
Acts of the Apostles 17,
Okay.
verse 11.
Okay, there we go.
You're there?
Yes, Papa.
Okay, Acts 17, 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Hence, a teacher of the Bible is one who knows the scriptures. If you see my notes, this is how I wrote my notes, in case you want to write yours like mine. Hence, a teacher of the Bible is one who knows the scriptures. I put it in capital letters, all. Is one who knows the scriptures. You cannot be a teacher of the Bible if you don't know the scriptures. That's emphasis. 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. And that from a child I was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is all scriptures, not the faith message, not grace message. We are grace preachers. We are grace alliance, not holiness fellowship, not prosperity message, not faith movement. The Bible teacher must apply basic rules of reading and explaining literary materials. He must not speak like a genie or magician. He must not treat the scriptures like a book of esoteric words. Furthermore, he must read the text together. So the Bible teacher must apply basic rules of reading and explaining literary materials. He must not speak like a genie or magician. See that? He must not treat scriptures like a book of esoteric words. Furthermore, he must read the text together, just like Jesus did. In Acts 24, 27, Acts 24, 27, Acts 24, 44, and 45. Acts 24, 27, Acts 24, 44, and 45. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24, 40, 24, 27, Luke 24, 44, and 45. When he does this, he will not lift verses out of context. When a preacher reads painstakingly, he will not lift verses out of context. He will depart from an imagined style, something I refer to as concordance preaching. Now, I have nothing against the use of concordances to study personally, but words may have the same meanings generally, but applications which usually differ in context. Applications which generally differ in context. Many errors have emerged from studying and teaching this way. And many people have become lazy with the advent of apps and easy ways of studying. But look, you must read through and teach contextually. You must. This is the beef I have with many men of God. Dr. Damina, why are you boxing God in a book? Allow the Holy Spirit to lead men. Is the Holy Spirit not bigger than the book? Are you saying the Holy Ghost cannot say anything outside the Bible? You must read through and you must teach contextually. Pretext refers to earlier verses, while posttext refers to later verses. Hence, you read the pretext, the posttext, and bring all within context. You read the pretext, the posttext, and bring all within context. Let me cite a few. And it's when I do like this, they will not say I'm attacking pastors. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we have had many people try to define faith this way. But the Bible is no dictionary of definitions. The Bible is a story. The story of Christ. God's descent into man's sin. And his descent eventually into man himself. That's the story of the Bible. God's descent into man's sins and his descent eventually into man himself. Jesus said this much in John 5:39-40. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. So let us get back to the earlier text. I have heard some people preach faith is now, now is faith. If it is not now, it is not faith. Like a rhyme, you know. Now, this is not bad, but using this text in Hebrews 11 as a definition of faith is an awful study. The term now refers to therefore. That is based on this. Based on what? Based on Hebrews 10:36-39. Based on Hebrews 10:36-39. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Question, who are the them? Now, the terms we and them. Take note of that. The terms we and them are two different expressions of reference. And obviously, this text refers to an expectation of he that shall come. So which means it is a faith expecting a person. That faith of Hebrews is a faith that is expecting a person. And it's important to note that this text was quoted from Habakkuk, Chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Obviously, it is a prophecy. So the book of Hebrews explains this and its fulfillment. Observe the post-text. The post-text is in Hebrews 11, verse 2 and 3. Hebrews 11, 2 and 3. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Again, the elders were the them. All right? They were the them that did not draw back. But they were the them that believed to be saved. They obtained a good report from Abel to the last person. They obtained a good report from Abel to the last person. Their faith hoped for and expected things they had not seen. Their faith hoped for and expected things they had not seen. But this is not faith today. Because their faith waited. So the post-text will be Hebrews 11, 13, 39, and 40. Hebrews 11, 13, 39, and 40. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They without us should not be made perfect. So they looked forward. They were expecting it in front. Hence, the next verse says that we look away from them. That is from the Old Testament examples, since Christ has fulfilled their expectation. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. They had a good report of expecting and waiting for Christ. They had a good report of expecting and waiting for Christ. He is the substance of the things and is the evidence of the things. Christ is the substance and Christ is the evidence. Christ is the substance and Christ is the evidence. So that's why Hebrews 12:2 now says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look unto Jesus, who
can everybody hear, Papa? I just wanted to make sure it's not just me. Okay, thank you. Good. Let's give him a minute to come back.
Ghana must stop this thing, man. How can the network just kick me out without taking permission?
Babana is a temporal life. They need eternal, the signal needs eternal life over in Ghana, then. Try. We need to get that signal born again. Sharp, 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 so that I can receive eternal life.
Even the Nigerian singer that is bad has never kicked me out like this.
I know.
M. Pastor Tilly is not here.
Ah, I want that to be here so that we can go there.
Pastor Tilly and Pastor T, I hope they are not here.
I know. See the way the Ghana network is dealing with us, eh?
As the Jessica is on the floor laughing, I can see it in the spirit. And the man, she said, good for you. Then I said, you should come to America. You didn't come to America. Enjoy Ghana now.
Baba, we have not finished that matter. We have to have that conversation very, very well. Because me, I've not heard.
It's only because Jessica is laughing. He's even writing me, he's starting me on the app here. He's a papa now.
I can see her, papa. Oh my goodness.
Thank God for Nigeria. This has never kicked me out before.
Me too, I'm wondering, why is Ghana doing us like this? So let
it's
me.
It's a trial of our pain.
I know. Let me do my kabo. Ghana be nice.
Ghana be nice.
Ghana be nice.
What was the last thing you guys heard in this class?
Hebrews 12:2 says, that's why Hebrews 12:2 says, that was the conversation you were continuing, explaining from Christ is the substance and Christ is the evidence.
Because Jessica said they have a relocation package.
A full one. Very robust.
Email me and present the package. Let me look at it. I may change my mind tomorrow and leave Ghana. I'll come to America. I'll send the package.
A very full, robust package.
Send first now. Let me see package. Which kind of water is this?
You know now, Papa. We are feeling you.
I was praying for somebody one time, and in the midst of the prayer, I just stopped and started laughing, and the person got angry.
Baba, what happened
Just stopped the prayer halfway. I never finished prayer. Then I started laughing. And then the person is waiting for me to continue prayer, so I brought up a joke.
now?
And the person was getting angry because the person was not finding it funny. How can I be praying and I stop the prayer and start laughing and crack a joke? So I decided to use the thing to teach the person a lesson. So I crack another joke as if I've forgotten the prayer. Then after a while, I finish the prayer. And then the person is looking at me. Few minutes after the prayer, the answer just manifested.
Hi.
Then the person say, Papa, is God that easy? I say, you think God is like your religious leader, who when you start talking, children must not make noise, otherwise they're disturbing the Holy Ghost. So if you are talking to a biological father and a joke comes up, won't you crack the joke and laugh, and after that continue your discourse? Does it offend your biological father? It doesn't. If you that are evil can relate like that with your children, how much more your father?
Baba, you have just set so many people free with that statement you just made just now.
Okay, so we have finished cracking joke. Let's go back to class. Hebrews 12, the anointing is here.
Let me mute myself so I won't disturb with my laughter.
Sometimes I'm praying in the hour, having a prayer time with mama. The mama will stop the prayer and just talk about something else in the midst of prayer. And after that, we'll continue the prayer. Then I'll say to her, Shey, you see, you have no respect. You interrupted the move of God. Then she said, but that thing I also talked about is part of the move of God now.
The move of God is the
The move of God is not in a straight jacket now. The move of God affects every area of the human life that is involved
move of
now.
men.
I just love the way our God is, you know.
Yes,
I
Papa.
love it the way he is. Our God is a father, you
Yes,
know,
Papa.
and he does not like serious stuff. Sometimes we get too serious, till even when the answer is coming, we miss it because we're too serious. You know, it's a beautiful thing. All right, so Hebrews 12, to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I think it's Creflo Dollar who told his story. I just remember that. So Creflo is fasting and praying so that he can be very righteous. He's fasting and praying to be righteous. Seriously. And in the midst of his fasting and prayers, he lies down on the floor to pray in tongues. Taffy was cooking in the kitchen, and the aroma of the food started coming under the door. And Creflo begins to get hungry. And he's angry that Taffy is cooking at the time when she should be supporting him to finish this fast. And then he said, the Lord said to him, why are you getting pissed off? And he said to God, and he is trying to maintain seriousness so he can achieve this righteousness. But his wife is disturbing him with the aroma of food, tempting him to break his fast. So he said, God said to him, do you want to eat the food? He said, yes, Lord, I really feel like eating the food. Then God told you, go and eat. When you finish, come, let's continue. Go and eat. When you finish, come, let's continue our conversation.
Oh my goodness, Baba, you have taken my yoke is easy and my burden is light to a whole new level.
Stood up I went to the kitchen and told him, he served me some of that food. He said, "Are you not fasting?" He said, "God said,
I can
you come
eat.
and eat. When I finish, I should go back and let's continue our discourse. So please, give some food." Isn't God humorous?
I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Susie is
That
falling in love all over again.
reminds me of something else. So we are fasting with my friend. And then in the midst of the fasting, we decided to take a walk. And then we got so excited about what gist we were gisting, he forgot we are fasting. Somebody brought granola and popcorn combined together. You know, when you put granola in popcorn, it's another level.
Yes,
It's
sir.
another level. So he just put his hand, took a chunk of it, ate, took another one, ate the third one, then he remember we're fasting. He frowned and turned to me and said, "Look at how I have scattered the fasting. Look at how I have scattered the fasting." I said, "Which fasting did you scatter?" He said, "I've scattered today's fasting now." I said, "So what are you saying?" He said, "This will have to start again tomorrow." I said, "You are who will start tomorrow? Go and drink water, John. Let's continue fasting. Because you ate granola and popcorn, you think God is counting your fasting per second. God is not even aware you're fasting. You're the only one fasting to discipline yourself. So drink your water. Let's continue our fast. We will break it in the evening like we planned." And as if you never ate something in the peace. Again, the point here is God is not a schoolmaster who is going around with a cane counting whether you kept it or you didn't keep it. It's not like that. He's a father. He loves us. But religion has a way of just making it look like, you know, making God look legalistic. You know. All right, let's get back. So, just like and with us, the Old Testament people have come to the fulfillment of what they were expecting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's why Hebrews 12:22 says, "But we are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Verse 23, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." Spirits are now made perfect. Reading the entire parts of the book shows that they without us were not made perfect. Now, the term perfect refers to the effect of Jesus' sacrifice. The effect of Jesus' sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified." Hebrews 10, 14. That is, without his blood offered, no one was made perfect. Hence, his being called perfecter of faith refers not to us, but them. Perfecter of faith is not us, but the Old Testament people, because he accomplished their expectation. He accomplished their expectation. He accomplished their expectation. Okay? Hence, his reference to Abel's blood, which cannot be his blood, but rather the blood of his animal offering. This is so simple if you read it in context. Because Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." It simply means that Abel's blood offering was in expectation. That is, the substance of things hoped for, which is Christ's death, hoped for. Earlier, the writer simplified the tithing practice. Many have assumed he was teaching to tithe, but that is very, you know, preposterous. Because in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5 to 10, it indicates honor and says that Melchizedek is greater than Levi. That is the reason for the entire historical parody of that Hebrews 7, 5 to 10. He makes it clear that while Moses' law did not achieve much, when he simply added the golden fact that in Levi, all Jews paid tithe in Abraham. Some claim that Jesus takes tithes. That is ridiculous. It is a deliberate misreading of Hebrews 7 verse 8, which says, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. The term received them is italicized. It's not in the original. That term received them. More so, he was referring to Melchizedek, not Jesus. And we must never forget that Melchizedek is not Jesus. Because Hebrews 7:3 says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Made like unto Jesus. Which indicates that he is a symbol. Made like. Melchizedek is made like symbol. Therefore, just like all figurative narratives of the Old Testament, if we are honest and sincere, verse 9 and 10 ought to end the tithing conundrum. If we're honest and sincere. However, just like the love of money, anywhere this issue is discussed, its adherents act like just men. They will spew testimonies like heretics do to support extra biblical things. They will spew it. Ah, this one did it. This is what happened. Now, the teacher must not use scripture text for mere references. The teacher must seek to make his audience comprehend. He must seek to make his audience comprehend the intended and objective meaning of text. A teacher of the word must seek to make his audience comprehend the intended and objective meaning of text. If you were a typical proof text in concordance teacher, if that guy is a typical proof texting concordance teacher, proof texting, he will have successfully used the above scenario to tell believers to tithe. You know what proof texting is, right? Whilst he simply pull wool over their eyes. And that is the same with many other subjects. For example, you know, Pastor Adegboye apologized. He said, I am sorry. I said that if you don't pay tithe, you will not go to heaven. I was wrong. It is not if you don't pay tithe, you will not go to heaven. It is follow all men with peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So I was telling Bishop Mike, I said, Baba, why didn't Pastor Adegboye ask you to tell him what to say in correcting that? Bishop Mike just said, I'm telling you, he just went from frying pan to fire. How can you say follow all men with peace without holiness no man shall see the Lord as a scripture for salvation? That scripture is for conduct now. That's frying pan to fire. He even went beyond the tithe now and brought peace and holiness as prerequisite for salvation. So he just left tithe, which people have already understood is a joke, and created a new one. Followed Pastor Kumuyi now. So he is using that text to ask men to be holy in order to make heaven, which is a poor Bible study. The same writer discussed holiness in the entire book, which, by the way, is sanctification. He even used it for animals. Animals are holy. Vessels of the temple are holy. Holy simply means to take something for your exclusive use or ownership or pleasure. That's the meaning of holiness. And Hebrews 2:11 says, for both ye that sanctify it and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 3:1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So how will he ask you to be holy after explaining that Christ's work is what makes us holy? How will he be asking you to make yourself holy? The man who has believed in Christ has seen the Lord by being made holy. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The teacher of scripture must never use scriptures to back up his claims. You didn't hear that. He must never use scriptures to back up his claims. He must be explaining scripture, which has his own already written claims. He must be explaining scriptures, which has its own already written claims. Glory to God. Father, thank you for this class tonight. Thank you for every student of this class. The light shines. Our minds are renewed. We're coming face to face with the truth that is in the gospel. Thank you that an equipping is taking place, making us workmen that need not to be ashamed, in men and women who rightly divide the word of truth. Thank you, Lord, that each minister of the gospel here has boldness. We speak as oracles. We speak the oracles of God. In the name of Jesus, you are kept, you are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. You are perfected in the Holy Ghost. Great grace is upon you. You never see shame. You never fail. You fulfill God's purpose for your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Take the assignment for the week. Pastor Sean, there's somebody called Christos in this class. I really want to know who is this Christos, because that name is anointed.
Amen.
But that would be during question and answer. Let me just give this question first.
Yes, over.
One question: differentiate between using scriptures to back up your claims. Differentiate between using scriptures to back up your claims and allowing scripture explain itself. Differentiate between using scriptures to back up your claims and allowing scriptures explain itself. Give us the difference. Between using scriptures to back up your claims and allowing scriptures explain itself. All right, that's it for the day. Pastor Sean, if there are questions, I'm open to answer them.